status of life suggests that Limbaugh may be right. There's darn little humanity in our foreign policy. It's all about our interests. It's all about us. I find that very sad, and I take solace in the fact that more and more people are beginning to read Emerson. I hear the music. It's 59 minutes after the hour. I've had a wonderful day. I hope you've enjoyed it. I really do. Have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening, and be safe. This is Bill O'Brien. Thank you.
This is the Quality News Network. Senate Democrats want to change legislation passed 4 years ago authorizing President Bush to go to war in Iraq. The new legislation would specify a more limited mission for U.S. troops, although the exact wording has not been decided upon yet. The White House says it will oppose the Senate attempt to change the war authority limits. The administration is accusing the Democrats of being in a state of confusion about Iraq. The U.S. ambassador to Iraq is apologizing for the detention of the son of Iraq's most powerful Shiite politician. He was reportedly held by U.S. forces at a crossing point in Iraq for nearly 12 hours after returning from a trip to Iran. Now that the U.N. deadline for Iran to suspend its uranium enrichment program has passed, and the U.N. is reporting that Iran is continuing the program, a new resolution against Iran is expected. On Monday, the Undersecretary of State will go to London to meet with U.S. allies to draft a new, harsher UN resolution. Today, Iran's president said his country would not show weakness over its nuclear program. Vice President Dick Cheney traveled to Australia today criticizing the recent Chinese anti-satellite weapons test. He says China's continued military buildup is not consistent with its self-proclaimed rise as a peaceful global power. Pakistan test-fired a new long-range missile today. Military sources say say that the missile is capable of carrying a nuclear warhead up to 1,200 miles. In Vienna today, the head of the UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency said that he had been invited by North Korea for discussions about dismantling its nuclear program. The jury in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial is now on its third day of deliberations. The former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney faces perjury and obstruction charges. Over the past 2 days, the 8 women and 4 men have spent 11.5 hours deliberating. The Pentagon has decided not to conduct an enormous weapons test originally planned for the desert near Las Vegas. Although the explosion would use non-nuclear materials, there were concerns dust filled with background radiation would be scattered throughout the area. A strong storm is expected across wide areas of the Midwest today. The National Weather Service reports that severe thunderstorms are expected over Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas, while blizzards will hit Colorado and Nebraska. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news coming up next.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
The Humane Society says some retailers are carrying fake fur trim coats that are actually made of real animal fur. They say many of the coats are from designer labels like Tommy Hilfiger and are sold at high-end retailers like Nordstrom. The fur is reportedly harvested from domesticated raccoon dogs. Most of the retailers are offering refunds to their customers. The Girl Scouts are on a health kick. The cookies they are selling this year will be free of unhealthy trans fats. The Girl Scouts have been under pressure from health-oriented consumer groups to make the change. British scientists say studies prove circumcision reduces a man's chance of contracting HIV by 60%. Medical experts call the report's conclusions a major breakthrough in the battle against AIDS. America's largest milk producer has announced its products will no longer contain milk from cloned cows. Dean Foods, which makes Land O'Lakes and Horizon Organic, says it's taking the action because American consumers appear unconvinced material produced by clone animals is safe. Microsoft must pay equipment company Alcatel-Lucent $1.52 billion for violating the company's patents. Microsoft illegally used the manufacturer's techniques to convert audio into digital MP3 file format on personal computers. New to close of Wall Street today, the Dow is 32. Dow Jones is down 32 points, the NASDAQ is down 7, and the S&P 500 down 4. There's more on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Boxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Boxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here for a Friday, and we're back live. Sorry about that, having to take a couple days off there. Business did call, you know, gotta make a living. And I'm sorry I missed you all guys, you know, so much over the week, and it's been a huge, huge, huge week, and over in the Fox household here, it was also a very, very huge day yesterday, but I'm going to get a little bit more into that later, so, yeah, I'll get to that later. Anyway, everybody, so glad to be back on air, and it's not going to be a very green program. This is the Big Dick Comes to Sydney show. You know, it just, as you know, you've heard in the news, is on the QNN news that Big Dick Cheney's in Sydney, and you wouldn't believe the crap that's been going on here. Now, first of all, you know, he flies in the middle of the night, blah 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 blah. Virtually, there's a whole huge section of downtown Sydney that's in lockdown for 3 days. There were protests that the media decided to try and make them look more violent than they were. It just kind of goes on and on and on. And I think where we'll start is with my good friend, Mr. Tim Dunlop. And you can find most of these links at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com on today's show post. my mate Tim Dunlop, who is the founder of RoadToSerfdom.com, but he now blogs professionally for Murdoch, of all people. I've mentioned him before. And at his blog, Blockocracy, and I still love his actual tagline for this blog. It says, rapid-fire commentary and discussion on politics, values, and culture that doesn't suck. But he had a post yesterday called Welcome, Mr. Vice President. And I think he lays it out very well. He said, there's any number of stories around this morning about the protests that greeted Vice President Cheney in Sydney. I don't know about you, but I always find it almost impossible to get a real sense of what went on from such reports. The Australian's headline is, Cheney brings out the hate and peaceniks. The sort of comment that instantly undermines any confidence you might have in the objective, in the objectivity of the story that follows. They seem to be milking it a bit. And he takes from that story, mounted police officers and members of the riot squad scuffled with protesters in scenes reminiscent of violent anti-globalization protests at the G20 summits in Melbourne last year. The crowd, led by many members of the Stop the War Coalition, marched down George Street, one of Sydney's main streets, without permission from the police, who cited traffic concerns for the decision. The clashes occurred when the protesters attempted to break through the wall of police officers. 10 protesters were arrested. The Sydney Morning Herald story makes it all sound a little less exciting, relegating the protests to a few paras in the wider story. From that story, it says, scuffles broke out between a dozen protesters and officers, including mounted police, who tried to push the crowd into Town Hall Square. 10 people were arrested, but after 15 minutes of pushing, the protesters agreed to walk along the footpath to the consulate. Now, here's where it's probably the most realistic. It goes on, he says, blogger Daryl Mason, who was there, takes an even more benign view, and this is great, and it's from his blog, The Australian, .blogspot.com, and just go to the blogocracy link and you'll find it there. And he says, the mostly peaceful protests next to Sydney's town hall earlier today, held 4 hours before U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney arrived in Australia, certainly didn't seem to have the makings of big trouble. And there wasn't big trouble. Far from it. Until the MC told the crowd police had refused permission for them to march through the city and declared it was up to use whether you wanted to defy the police and march on. The police by this time were standing in double-strength lines between the crowd and George Street, filled with early evening commuter traffic. A few cheers of defiance went up, and the police edged closer. Then it was on, kind of. Less than 50 of the protesters decided it was time for some push-me, push-you action. The police never seemed overly concerned. It was basically some real-time training for the riot squad, and a chance for the 8 mounted police, all female for some reason, to practice their coordinated lineup, pullback, lineup again, equestrian maneuvers. I like the and this is a great quote. A woman said, I like the protest because you get to see these beautiful horses, said some woman in her 80s, waving a little flag that told us the only thing right about Dick Cheney was his first name. And also at the Australia in the Post, Daryl makes the comment that, you know, one of the cameramen there for one of the networks, and he wasn't sure which network, actually, you know, there wasn't enough of a scuffle going on, so he's shaking his camera around as the little bit of scuffle was going on so that it looked like he was in the middle of the fray. And that's pretty pathetic. I mean, that's trying to create news. I mean, that's just bullshit as far as I'm concerned. Using the one brown word we're allowed to use. It's just, you know, the whole thing's nuts. And, you know, it's been interesting, though. You know, there have been certain writers in the media over the past few days that have done the kissy, kissy, kissy up thing to Cheney. But there's been a few that have been laying out the reality of things. The fact that, you know, this is the most unpopular vice president in memory. The fact that he is a warmonger. How's this for just absolute balls? But this is just exactly how these idiots work. Cheney's first stop is to visit with the Vietnam Veterans of Australia. A guy who used 4 deferments got his wife pregnant to stay out of Vietnam. Absolutely unbloody forgivable. Just drives me absolutely crazy. Now, the thing that's really, really scary about this, all right, is we have been having domestic anti-terror operations practice runs going on in Sydney, and I'll tell you all about that when we get back. So we're going to take our first break here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, dial into 1-877-443-2366. And we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about Black Hawk helicopters over Sydney, and then we're going to do today's track of the day, which is extremely special. So stick around. We'll see you right after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Agnes, that's just awesome. A War Pigs for Cheney. All right. Before we get to our track of the day, let's go straight to the phones. We got our good mate, Bob, from North Dakota. How you going, Bob? Welcome to the program. Bob?
Hello.
Hey, mate. How are you?
Hey, missing you, buddy. Missing you.
Yeah, kind of a busy week. I had to take a bit of a hiatus this week and take care of some business, but it is sure great to be back on air. What can I do for you today, sir?
Oh, goodness, don't ever call me sir again. That'll be the first thing. And for the second thing, you got the dickhead. Well, okay. You got the dick down there?
Yeah, man. He's down here painting the BS. Just you know, with a bloody roller. It's just nuts.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, anywhere these people go, it's nuts. You know, it really is. It gets stranger and stranger every day. I wake up and it's kind of like I went Alice through the looking glass. You know.
Well, where I was going to go when we came back, this is how really weird it is. Just as Cheney's getting ready to arrive, Australian military start running Black Hawk helicopter training missions over central Sydney.
Of course.
Buzzing people's apartment buildings. The Sydney Morning... It's just absolutely insane, and I'm just waiting, you know. And these are new pilots training.
Okay.
What happens when one of them? Okay.
Stop for a moment. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. Okay, we used the tactic back in Vietnam. You talked about the Australian Vietnam vets. Okay.
Yep.
And how Dick wanted to meet with them and you know greet with them and do all the handshakes and all that. Well, let's stop for a moment, okay? I'll tell you what the Black Hawks are, okay? It's called harassment and interdiction. We did it in Vietnam. It was called H&I, okay? Harassment and interdiction. You do it, and first you put the fear of God into people by showing your military might, and you just you do it not to. Not to kill and murder people, but to harass them and interdict any thought you might have about protesting this fat, worthless, ugly, filthy creep, this cretin that has crawled out of the slime of the Republican gutter and foisted themselves upon the people of the earth, and to harass the people of Sydney, just to harass them and interdict their thoughts, make them afraid to face this cretin, this, like you said, he got 5 deferments by first, didn't he have a pimple on his rectum or something? No, that was his counterpart, Rush Limbaugh, that had the big hairy cyst on his butt. But this guy, he's got a big hairy cyst on his shoulders. It's called a dick's something or another. Anyway, it sits on his shoulders. And you know we got a name for that up here. It's just a dick's the thing that sits on his shoulders. But anyway, I'm sick of these people, John.
Oh,
they are destroying our earth, and they're destroying people's courage. They're trying to make you afraid of them. But guess what? They are more afraid of us than we are.
That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that these moves are purely, one of these last-ditch efforts to strike the fear into the public. And I really believe that we're getting into a situation where the government is really beginning to fear its people, which is the way that it should be.
Absolutely. And the thing is, you and I and every other human being on this planet have to realize that the only it's kind of thing I think a gentleman way back in the past, I think his name was Franklin Delano Roosevelt, he stood up before the American people. He says the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Bingo.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself, and that's what they're trying to instill into us. But John, to you and to the world, I say, I'm not afraid. I'm just PO'd. I'm very PO'd. I'm PO'd at these people that try to make me afraid. And every time you make me afraid, I just get meaner. And you people keep pushing and pushing, and guess what? We're starting to push back. And it's time. to push back my friends, my fellow countrymen, and people of the world. Start pushing these dictators right... Oh, did I say dictator? Oh, well, it's kind of like a thing that sits on the head of this fat little blob that calls himself the Vice President of the United States that was never elected. Because there has never been a Vice President of the United States that was ever elected. They just get selected by some little monkey that squats in my White House, the People's House, and calls himself President of the United States. But he was this Cheney thing was never elected. He never was. He was selected by a chimpanzee that calls himself a man.
Bob, he selected himself. If you remember, he was actually chosen he was chosen to select the vice presidential candidate, and then he comes out and says, "I choose myself."
Yes, of course he did, because he was the best dick for the job, right? You know, he was the best dick for the job, and he could take and service the chimp anytime he wanted to, right? But stop and think. I am like Mike Malloy. Have I told you tonight how much I hate these people?
I'm right with you, man. I'm right with you. And you know, I'm just seeing a lot of this as the desperation involved. And but, thankfully, while Cheney's here, you know, I'm not thankful that he's here, but there actually has been quite a bit in the mainstream media here about the fact that, you know, the claims about Iran are false, and reminding people that this war that we're in is bogus.
Yeah.
All the reasoning is bogus. And what I'm very interested to hear how the opposition leader, Kevin Rudd, was going to have a sit-down meeting with the vice president. I reckon I would love to have been a fly on the wall for that meeting, because Kevin Rudd has been against this war from the beginning.
Good for him.
And he still stands against it, and he is not backing down, and I reckon this guy's got enough of a spine that he would have stood right up to Cheney, no fear, and laid it out, saying, you know, I support our alliance, but I do not support this illegal war.
You know what I support? You know, I served in Vietnam when Dick Cheney was getting his temple, or his fist, no, that was the other one. I'm sorry. I keep getting those two fat, ugly things with things on their butts that bother people. I get them mixed up because they both look like, you know, just bags of pus. I don't care if it's Dick Cheney bag of pus or Rush Limbaugh bag of pus. If you put the two together, they look like twins, and they have about the same mentality. They cannot put together a cohesive sentence or a coherent sentence, one that you can understand. Even though if I'd had 14 cases of beer, I couldn't get that stupid. If I tried, and these people go out and they try to make every human being on this planet as stupid as they are, and they start to breed and to fester this hatred, this bigotry for the Iraqis, for the Iranians, for the Syrians, for anybody that they want to attack. They do the same thing that Adolf Hitler and his henchmen did back there in the 1930s. They try to instill a fear that you're being attacked when you're not being attacked. I mean, if you stop and think for a moment, when was the United States ever attacked? And we can't even point to 9/11 and say that it was done by the people they say it was done by, because seven of them are still alive. Of the 15, seven of those people showed up and said, "Hey, that's not me. I didn't do that. It's not me," right?
Yeah. If it was me, I'd be dead, wouldn't I?
Yeah, right. If I was in an airplane, I'd be dead. But no, see, and the United States of America, the media of the earth that is controlled that are nothing but, you know, like this, I don't know, this, this cretin that runs the Fox Network, this owner of the Fox Network. It's like, you know,
Don't even get me started on Murdoch and the fact that he's an American citizen and an Australian citizen. It's absolutely incredible.
Stop for a moment and realize what Fox means, okay? F-O-X, okay? Fox, okay? But if you go to the French meaning of Fox, F-A-U-X, okay? Fox.
Yep,
it's false. False
yep,
news. You're being fed a line. You're being brainwashed. You've been propagandized or whatever you want to call it. But if you want to understand what Murdoch was doing, he said Fox, Fox. It's the same difference. You know, it's all false. And they feed people false information daily, and a daily diet of false information. It was Adolf Hitler that came up with this. The bigger the lie, and you just keep repeating the lie over and over until people believe it. Well, believe me, I never bought it in the first place.
You got to catapult the propaganda. And with that, Bob, I'm sorry, I got to cut you off. We're on the bottom of the hour, but man, it's always really, really good to hear from you. And you're very, very right. Cheney is a scumbag.
Oh, God's sake, he's worse than a scumbag. He's George Bush's scumbag, and that's even worse. You know, that's like being the scumbag of all scumbags in the history of humanity since the beginning of time.
You got it, Bob. We got to go, man. Thank you so much. We'll speak to you very, very soon. And you're with Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour, and actually a little bit late. We're going to come back and do our track of the day and some other stuff. So we will see you straight after this.
Look at the people. I know you wondered what they're doing. They're just standing there. Why didn't you make a fool of me? Look at the people.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive. Wednesday night prayer meeting on Head On with Bob Kincaid opens up a whole new realm of spirituality. Touch others. Reach out and touch faith. Join Brother Bob every Wednesday night for prayer meeting services here in the Tabernacle of Common Sense. Only on the Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us they're things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Okay. Today's track of the day is extremely special, and I'll explain why, and hopefully I'll get through this without turning into a sobbing pile of poo. As many of you know, at the horn, my wonderful, beautiful partner Gail has been in chemotherapy for the past 6 months. For trying to eradicate hepatitis C from her system. And yesterday we went to the hospital to get the final results, the final test, after going through the course of treatment, and I'm unbelievably happy to be able to report that no virus detected, and this is just beyond my ability to convey how important this is to me. And this is where today's track of the day comes in. I love you, Gail, and I'm so unbelievably happy that I'm now going to have the opportunity that we're going to be able to grow old together. And I have, you know, just thank you to the liver clinic at Concord Hospital, Dr. Park, her nurse Kathy, they're just amazing. And this is my song for the most important person in my life. The Black Crowes, Miracle to Me. Roll it, Agnes.
Just
miracle to me. Be a miracle to me.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox. John Fox here, and I think I have my composure back. oh, wow, that was hard, and I love you, baby. You're the greatest thing. Okay, moving on. I didn't quite get to read from this about the Black Hawk helicopters. Now, this is from Thursday's Sydney Morning Herald. it says, Black Hawks, quiet down. And there's the picture, and you can see this Black Hawk helicopter going right between two high-rises. And it says, sleep-deprived Sydney residents might not like being buzzed by low-flying Black Hawk helicopters, but they had better get used to it. SydneyMorningHerald.com.au readers have complained about the chopper's noise as they carried out counter-terrorism training over the city this week. The Black Hawks flew 3 days of night and day missions across inner and northern Sydney, ending about midnight last night. Dean emailed the Sydney Morning Herald at 10:07 p.m. yesterday saying the racket above his house was unbearable. Helicopters have been continually flying overhead at surprisingly low altitudes for about 2 hours now, we wrote. Alan from Willamaloo also was annoyed. We are being buzzed by huge noisy helicopters flying probably only about 20 stories up, he said. Five times in an hour. We can't hear TV. We can't talk on the phone. The training operation has been well publicized through advertisements and coverage in the broadcast and print media, a Defense Department spokesman said this morning. The four Black Hawks involved are with the Army's 171st Aviation Squadron, which recently moved from Townsville to Holsworthy to work with special forces units on the East Coast. The basing of the Black Hawks in Sydney meant they would carry out regular training across the city, the defense spokesman said. The squadron's commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Stephen Klink, Colonel Klink, really? Said it was vital in his air crews flew in a variety of environments. The training will include flying in urban areas by day and by night using night vision goggles, he said. We will aim to keep disruptions to the public to a minimal, but trust the community will understand the importance of this training. Yeah, it's the fear factor. The choppers would be a significant boost to the Army's counterterrorism capabilities in the region, former Defense Minister Robert Hill said when announcing the squadron's move to July in 2005. The squadron will improve the training of our special forces in counterterrorism and will be used to train special forces commandos and incident response regiment, he said. What a bunch of crap. They know that the Australian public is over this nonsense. And they're not buying it, and they're trying to instill fear back into the people, and it's just absolute garbage. Earlier this week, the media here was making all this big noise about the fact that the Queen Mary II was pulling into Sydney Harbor. You know, this is a boat where it costs minimum $25,000 a person to cruise on, and it was all just a wonderful thing. But watching the Channel 10 news, and their weather guy was out on the foreshore of the harbor with shots over the harbor, seeing the big boat, and the weather guy couldn't even be heard because the Black Hawks kept flying right overhead, and you could see this look on Tim Bailey's face, like, what is this all about? I mean, absolutely drowning him out. I have a web client in the city, and I asked him whether he had seen any signs of this, and he said, yeah, they were making a hell of a racket outside Town Hall earlier this week, and made it very, very, very hard to do business. And, you know, I mean, talk about a probably what could be an effective way to instill fear into many people. And what Bob was saying earlier, I think, is very, very, you know, spot on. You know, that this is purely an internal propaganda move. This is, you know, John Howard is flailing. He's just not doing well in the polls. There's just, you can feel the tide is starting to turn, and the culmination of things like the bogus reasons for going into this Iraq war, the fact that Howard said it would only last months, and now 4 long years later, we're still there. We got the situation about the fact that they've done nothing to help David Hicks. That is not doing him well. However, Howard's making noises now that he'll help Hicks because he realizes, I mean, for a guy, you know, this is the classic move, for a guy who says that he doesn't pay attention to polls, he sure reacts to them. But on other Howard news, and we're not talking about Johnny, just getting a story up. Check this out. you know, Johnny Howard, he's a right-winger, and it's all that family values stuff. From the City Morning Herald today, Prime Minister's son moves in with former topless model. Prime Minister John Howard's eldest son, Tim, has moved in with former topless model. Sarah McIntosh, 28, moved in with Tim Howard at the end of last year, according to newspaper reports. She was described as having one of the best bodies in the Southern Hemisphere by the French version of men's magazine FHM. Miss McIntosh was 22 when she appeared in the men's magazine in a variety of poses. She is now studying child psychology. I was certainly aware of Sarah's past, but I'm not going to offer any comment on it any further, Tim Howard, who works on strategy with Channel 7, said yesterday. Now, this is not the son that works as an aide in the White House. This is a different son. And I wonder what Howard's reaction would be to all this. You know, if I'm not mistaken, you know, Tim works for Channel 7, and Channel 7's got a little bit of I shouldn't say a little bit, but much less of a right-wing type of spin. In fact, they're quite progressive. This is the network that has the Sunrise program that has been running the whole Cool the Globe campaign that I've spoken of over the past few months, and I just think it'd be really riot, you know, this would be like, you know, one of the Bush twins moving in with you know, like a Playgirl model or something like that. What a riot would that be? Real family values there. Child psychology. What a bunch of crap. Anyway, folks, where are we going to? Oh, yeah. Also on Cheney's visit, from Tim Dunlop's blog, The Road to Serfdom, which you can get to at roadtoserfdom.com. He's got, while he's doing the Murdoch gig, he has a couple of people blogging for him over at Serfdom, and Daryl Mason has a really, really great piece about Cheney's big interview, and this is cross-posted from his blog, The Ostrahan. and he talks about Cheney's main interview while in Australia was with journalist Greg Sheridan, who just happened to back the war on Iraq through late 2002 and all through 2003 and 2004 with a white-hot fervor that threatened to spontaneously combust his head. Just how much of a good friend is Cheney to Cheney is Greg Sheridan? They've known each other for at least 16 years, met half a dozen times or more, and once attended a conference together where a young man undressed on the stage. Or you can try this description with a link of his old mate for calibration. You never find Cheney hiding in the shadows. He's always in the bright light of the day. Here's where the comments are great. He says, or there's this. There's something bracing about Cheney's unrepentant attitude generally. Or this. Cheney certainly presents the very model of sweet reason. And Daryl says, good God, man, have you no shame? As chief foreign affairs writer for Rupert Murdoch's flagship, the Australian newspaper, you might think the idea of the United States launching a war on Iran would fill Sheridan with unease, but even a tinge of horror, considering the near ceaseless slaughter of civilians in Iraq over the past 4 years of war and the general state of calamity and fallout the war has produced across the Middle East. Well, you'd be wrong, Sheridan says. U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney believes a military confrontation with Iran would be the lesser evil than an Iran with nuclear weapons. But then it's not really the threat of Iran's nuclear weapons that concerns Cheney the most. Sheridan helpfully cuts through the mess of standard Cheney war on terror rhetoric with a neocon-plated recent history lessons in the Middle East with his lone floating sentence, which is probably the most important thing Cheney has said in months, and all but confirms a war on Iraq will begin with or without the support of the UN Security Council. The quote is, Cheney also points out that 20% of the world's oil passes through the Strait of Hormuz and is vulnerable to Iranian military action. You can pin that quote to the fridge, because you're going to be hearing that reasoning for why a war on Iran is necessary a hell of a lot in the coming weeks. Bugger. Now that the U.S. can control the flow of 20% of the world's oil supply by confronting Iran over its noncompliance with the UN Security Council-backed demands to halt its nuclear enrichment programs, you can pretty well guess what kind of bargaining chip the U.S. will now use to get the backing from China, Russia, and the rest of the Security Council for more hardcore sanctions against Iran. Cheney will soon claim that the U.S. action on Iran will help to guarantee the continuing flow of 20% of the world's oil supply to oil-hungry countries like Indonesia, India, China, and the U.S. itself. Cheney had a lot to say to Sheridan, or through Sheridan, as the journalist appears not to have challenged or confronted Cheney on anything, least of all the real-time horrors of the Iraq War, but then they're both guilty of creating that reality. And just in case the war on Iraq turns out to actually be the worst foreign policy decision in the history of the United States, Sheridan supplies a closing bit of praise for his old mate that utterly ignores the humongous death tolls, destruction, and third-world living conditions that are now daily realities for more than a third of all Iraqis. You may not agree with Cheney, but he certainly lets you know what he thinks. If the U.S. fails in Iraq, it certainly won't be because he lost his nerve. Lost his nerve. Lost his nerve. I think Dick Cheney brings a new meaning to the terms dickhead and penis face. All right, folks. We're going to wrap it up for today. Thank you so much for being with me today. It's really, really good to be back. Looking forward to being with you on Monday. We'll probably get back to doing some green things again. The ninjas have sent me so much stuff that I couldn't even get to today because it had to be the Big Dick Show today. So, you know, we'll very possibly get back to normal programming on Monday. So, as we say, real quick, big thank yous to Agnes for producing brilliantly today. Thank you to Bob for announcing the program. Thank you to the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters for everything that they do for the horn, the news ninjas, our mods, Peter Godbold, the whole lot of you. We love you. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green, and we'll see you on Monday.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes, eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
This is the Quality News Network. New details are emerging about how Senate Democrats are trying to amend legislation passed in 2002 authorizing President Bush to go to war in Iraq. Senior Democratic aides say the draft resolution will call for all U.S. combat troops to be out of Iraq by March 2008 and that remaining troops be used only for counterterrorism operations and for training purposes. The White House says it will oppose the Senate attempt to change the war authority limits. The administration is accusing the Democrats of being in a state of confusion about Iraq. The U.S. ambassador in Iraq is apologizing for the detention of the son of Iraq's most powerful Shiite politician. He was reportedly held by U.S. forces at a crossing point in Iraq for nearly 12 hours after returning from a trip to Iran. Now that the U.N. deadline for Iran to suspend its uranium enrichment program has passed and the U.N. is reporting that Iran is continuing the program, a new resolution against Iran is expected. On Monday, the Undersecretary of State will go to London to meet with U.S. allies to draft a new, harsher U.N. resolution. Today, Iran's president said his country would not show weakness over its nuclear program.
Traveling in Australia today, Vice President Dick Cheney criticized the recent Chinese anti-satellite weapons test. He says China's continued military buildup is not consistent with its self-proclaimed rise as a peaceful global power. Pakistan test-fired a new long-range missile today. Military sources there say that the missile is capable of carrying a nuclear warhead up to 1,200 miles. The jury in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial is now in its third day of deliberations. The former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney faces perjury and obstruction charges. Over the past 2 days, the 8 women and 4 men have spent 13 hours deliberating. The Pentagon has decided not to conduct an enormous weapons test originally planned for the desert near Las Vegas. Although the explosion would use non-nuclear materials,